This morning we turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, and we read the first 10 verses. And this evening we return back to Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, and we read from verse 11 to the end of the chapter. We spoke this morning about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and now we are looking at the lost or prodigal son. Let's hear God's word. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me my portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal or wasteful living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to the citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods of the swine that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to his father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here, kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore the father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have served you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It is right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Well, may God bless unto us that portion from his holy word. And may, as we look at this section tonight, praise God that God is a God who cares and loves for people so much that he wants them to come into his family. Amen. To be lost anywhere is an horrific situation. And perhaps you have been lost at some time in your life's journey. whether it's been in a car traveling somewhere and you just don't know where to go, the sat-nav hasn't been working properly. You remember Doreen and I were going back up to Liverpool to catch the ferry to go to the Isle of Man. We said we'll use the sat-nav. I don't believe in them, but I put it on, and every so often it says, you're going the wrong way, turn around and go back. What we didn't realize, it was set for going home, not going to Liverpool. You see, we can get lost. We can go down an alleyway and we think, oh, we can't get out. We're lost. We don't know the way. In the parable that we read earlier, we see that the son is lost to his family. He's not really lost in one sense. He don't feel that he's lost. He doesn't realize that he is lost. And in this situation, we see three things. We see that he wants to leave home. He wants to stay away. And we see him longing for home. You know, our Savior is so wonderful and so full of wisdom. He's speaking to these Pharisees and scribes who have turned their backs, or they've turned their faces away from these publicans, these tax collectors, these sinners, as they call them, because they are not like them. But you know, the gospel is for anyone and everyone and anywhere. Doesn't matter of our color, our creed, or our language. The gospel is to be preached in all the world, said Jesus. So let's look at these three things this evening. This young son wanted his freedom to do what he wanted, never mind the consequences of his actions. And you know, we say that this Bible, or people say that this Bible, is old-fashioned. But it's so up-to-date, isn't it? And this is what youngsters and people say today, don't they? They want their own way. They want to do what they want to do, when they want to do, and how they want to do it. And we have in verse 12 here, Jesus tells these Pharisees and scribes about this young man. A young man and a younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. You see, this young man wasn't interested in waiting for his father to die to have the inheritance. He wanted it now. And so often today, this is the attitude of people. We want things done now. We can't wait. And this young man, he tells his father, give me the portion of wealth that of your estate that belongs to me before you die. That must have hurt his father to the core. He wanted the monetary value of the estate now. And so the father does it. Doesn't say how he does it. Doesn't say how much it is. But he divides his living, his whole self that he's built up, that he's built his farm up or the estate up in such a state that he's willing now to separate it, to give this younger son of his that value that he might go and do with it as he wants. He wanted his portion of the family estate. So request was granted. As soon as this was completed, he had his money in the bank. He was off like a shot. As far away as it was possible to go. The Bible doesn't tell us where he went to. But it was far away from the home. Far away from the family that loved him. far away from the brother who must have now thought, wow, this brother of mine, he's really off his knocker, rocker. As soon as he had his money, he was off. And you know, this is exactly what young people, a lot of young people do today. In my day, it was off to go to the big city, London, where the streets are paved with gold. In fact, I did go. Not for that reason, for another reason, to go and work and go on in my job that I was involved in. But young people, they leave home. Some of them do it on such a quiet way. They do it by night. They leave home unknown to their parents, and they leave, and they're in the big city. And there they can get into all sorts of trouble. Well, this young man came to a position where he wanted to leave home. Perhaps he was disillusioned with the things around him. Perhaps he thought his elder brother would inherit the lot. Perhaps he thought that his brother would say, well, you know, I've got this estate, now you can just toddle off on your own. We don't know what in his mind. But what was in his mind fully was that he wanted to get away. He wanted to leave home. Never mind how far from his family it was. Go away. Get out of this situation. But you know, never mind how far we go away from God, God's got his eye on us. We might not think it. We might not appreciate it. But God has got his eye on us. Even when we're in the far country. Even when we think we know better than God himself. This young man thought he knew better than his father and his brother even. I'll do what I like, when I like, how I like. And so he travels to the far country. And look what he does. Not many days after the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to the far country, and then wasted his possessions on prodigal living or wasteful living, or as the elder son said, living with harlots. You know, he had the money. He could do what he want. Boy, he had all the friends he needed. Why? Because he had the money. And when you have the money, you'll have friends. So now that I was listening to, some years ago, listening to a program, and this person had won a lot of money on the lottery. And she said, well, I've been inundated, she said. I get hundreds and hundreds of letters sent to me pleading for money because I had so much. And this boy, he went his way to do what he wanted to do. I'm on my own now. Look out. There is no one to control me now. I'm on my own. I've got the money. I can do as I like. And you know, this is our state before God. Before we came to know him as Lord and Savior of life, we were strangers to him. We were offended by him and by his word. He shall not rule over me. I am my own man. I can do what I like. And I can live as I like. But remember what Jesus said in that story of the man who had so much that in the harvest that he said, I know what I'll do. I will pull down my barns. I will build bigger barns, and then I can take myself ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And God says to him, thou fool. And you know, he says to us, you are foolish. You are going astray. You are leaving what is wonderful, a life of being and knowing God as your Lord and Savior. It's the most wonderful thing that any person could ever know, is the love of God in their hearts and in their lives. And so he went, and he lived as he liked. Spent all his money. Every penny went. Well, where's his friends now? They don't want to know him. Look what it says here in verse 13. Not many days after the journey, he gathered all, journeyed to the far country, and wasted his possessions on prodigal living. But when he had spent all, every penny gone. Friends, well, he couldn't see them for the dust. They'd gone, left him. Didn't want to know him anymore because he didn't have the money. He wanted to stay away. He wanted to stay away. He wants to have a good time, to enjoy what was on offer, to let his hair down, to do as he like, without any restraint, no checking up, no not being controlled. So long as he could pay for it. He had friends galore. But now his friends had turned away from him. No one wanted to help him in his need. And you know, it's only when we come to realize that there are things in our life that are not right. Perhaps things that were in the past haunts us. Things that come back into our mind that we'd said or we'd done. And we wish that perhaps we hadn't said it. We can't get rid of that in our minds and in our hearts. But God can wipe away all that in our life. He can forgive us of our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness by faith and trust in what he's done for us at Calvary. No one was there to help this young man in his need. It's so hard. Perhaps we've never been in such a situation. Perhaps we've had it too good. I remember one prime minister saying, he said, "You've never had it so good." I remember another chancellor of the exchequer saying, "Boom and bust is finished." It never happened. They had the boom, but they also had the bust as well. He did what most young men did. He looked for work. And we are told here that he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. Wow, this is what Jesus was, he was getting and putting in that needle into these Pharisees and scribes. He was saying, this man went out to feed. This was the most humbling and degrading that any Jew could ever do, is feed swine, feed the pigs. They were the unclean animals as far as God was concerned in their sight. And they would have nothing to do with pigs. But it goes on further. It says that he was willing even to eat the food that the pigs ate, because no one gave him anything. You know, that's what the world's like to us. If we can't follow them, they don't want nothing to do with us. You know, we're Christians tonight. If you're a Christian here tonight, then you're in a minority in our land. You know, they hate us. They might not say it. But they think it of us. They hate us because we follow the Lord. Yes, he went and he fed pigs. And this is our state before God. We will eat anything but come to him in faith and trust. God says, I will give you what you need in anything. Do you know, when the Israelites came out from Egypt, you know, they longed for bread. They longed for meat. And God answered them. He gave them manna in the morning and he gave them meat to eat in the night. And when they were thirsty, what did he do? He struck a rock and water flooded out. Not a trickle, flooded out. God said, I will supply all your need in Christ Jesus. That's what he's promised to each and every one of us. Wow, what a God, what a Savior. This man stooped so low as to eat the food of pigs. No one would give him anything to eat. But this shows us also that we may be physically needing food, but there is a need within us for spiritual food. We need to be fed with the word of God to build us up and to be strong in the Lord Jesus Christ, to know that he is our God and he loves us so much that he gave his son for us. We are spiritually hungry. How hungry are we for God's word? How hungry are we to be his servants in the place where God has placed us? How hungry are we to see that men and women in our family, our brothers and sisters, our sons and daughters, our cousins, and are lost, and yet how we should be talking to them about the Lord Jesus? We should be hungry for them to be saved and be brought into the kingdom of God. And for our nation, we should be on our knees daily praying for revival, that God would speak to our land, that God would come in mighty power upon our land. So often we can be concerned over many things in our life, that we don't hear God's voice speaking to us. He is a God of the impossible. Here's this man. He's far away from his family. He's in the far country. He is in a helpless and a hopeless condition. He is lost. He's beginning to realize that there was wonderful things at home. And his mind was going back to those wonderful feasts that they had. And now he was hungry that he would even eat the food of the pigs. How will my father react if I return home? And people ask that of, if I return to God, how will he react towards me? Will he be a God of wrath because of all the sin that is in my life? No, he's a God who loves you. Yes, truly he is a God of wrath. And men and women who don't respond to him will know this in the end time. But God is a merciful God. He's a loving God. He's a caring God. And he loves us so much. He come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God's love for the lost is unfathomable. You know, I don't know about you, but when I was a youngster in Band of Hope or in Sunday school, we always sang this chorus, love of Jesus is so wonderful. The love of Jesus is so wonderful. The love of Jesus is so wonderful. It's so high you can't get over it. It's so low you can't get under it. It's so wide you can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love. That's the love of Jesus for men and women, lost, without hope, dead in trespasses and sins. That's what we were once like, says Paul. And he writes to the church at Philippi. Once we were like this, lost, without hope. And yet God opened our eyes to see. And here's this man. He's in a desperate situation. He's feeding himself on the food of the pigs. And he comes to himself, it says here. He says that he came to himself and said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? He comes to himself. He realizes what has been like at home, where there was feasting and where there was plenty of food. And he says, I will rise and go to my father. That's what Christ wants of men and women today, to realize their state before him and to come to him, because he is the only savior of this world. We may try any other religion. We may try our own way to get to heaven, but we'll all fail, because there's only one way to heaven, only one way to be saved, and that is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. His love is unmeasurable. His mercy is unfailing, and his grace is amazing. That's what the hymnist says, isn't it? Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. So we must realize too that we cannot live as we like. There are consequences to our actions. We can't live as we like. This young man wants to leave home. He wants to stay away. But now there's been a change in his heart. He wants to go home. He longs for home. And he returns home. Sometimes we can take the wrong road. You know, I love this word, cul-de-sac. I think it's French. I'm not sure, Doreen. Is it French? Cul-de-sac? Yes. See, I get a nod. It's French. And what it means is that you go in one way, but you can't get out the other end. You've got to come back to where you started. So that's wonderful. This young man has to come back from where he started from. And he realizes this, and he picks himself up and he says, I will go to my father and I will say to my father, I have sinned. And notice he doesn't say, I've sinned just against you, father. He said, I have sinned before God. I have sinned against heaven and before you. He puts God first. There's a change taking place in this man's life. He realizes that his state is because of his sin before God and his father, his earthly father. We've been speaking today about Father's Day. You know, and here it is. He comes to his father. And he will say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight and before you. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. That's what I'll say. And you know, God loves to hear that of men and women today. I have sinned against you. I am not worthy to come into your presence. None of us are worthy. We're all sinners before God. No, none of us are righteous. No, not one. But you know, God loves the sinner. God loves the sinner so much that he came into this world to die on a cross at Calvary. And a little later on, we'll be coming to this table to remember this tremendous and most wonderful of works that God could ever do. Give his lifeblood for us. Yes, I have sinned against God. We have taken wrong decisions. We see our faults. But more often than not, we don't do anything about them. But this man did. He saw his position. And so he starts on his way home. And the wonder of it is that the father, who he thinks is at home, tending or looking after things at home, no, this father is on the lookout for him. The impression it gives here is that the father, not particularly on that day, is looking out for his son, but it seems as if he's constantly on the lookout to see if his son is coming. No mobile phones, no emails, no other phones or any other messages could get to him. He's on the lookout. He's looking for his son to come home. And God is looking for men and women to come home to him, to realize their state and to be changed by the power of God. And the son comes home. And look what happens. He arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The father, he thought, was at home looking after the affairs, not thinking about him whatsoever. The father was on the lookout for him. And when he sees him in afar off, he runs to him. It's not that the son runs to the father. It's the father runs to him. And what does he do? He has compassion on him. That's the first thing. And you know, God has compassion on us for all the sins that we've ever committed, for all those things. And remember what, there's a story told of Martin Luther. You know, he was there writing one night and the devil comes to him and he says, Martin Luther, he says, how can you be a Christian with all the sins that you've ever committed? And he says to Martin Luther, I want you to write all the sins that you can remember down. And he writes them. And when he seemed to have finished, Satan tells him, the devil says to him, is that it? I think so, says Martin. No, I'll tell you the ones that you've forgotten about. And he writes what the devil tells him, all the sins he's done. And at the end, the devil says, well, look at all these, Martin. How on earth can you be a Christian? How can you have a God in heaven who can forgive you of all these sins? And he says, easily. And he writes through all those sins, cancelled by the blood of Jesus. Cancelled by the blood of Jesus. The father runs to this young man. He longs to see him again, to put his arms around him. And he kisses him. Wow. That's what God wants to have. That's for us. He puts his loving arms around us and he forgives us of our sins. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness and we become back into the family of God once again. God does a tremendous work in saving us. I ask you tonight, are you saved? Do you know that your sins have been forgiven? Well, you can come to this table and you can give thanks to God that you have. Knowing that your sins are washed whiter than the snow. And you can come and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the blood that was spilt for me, for the body that was broken for me. Because you loved me so much. How the Father rejoices. You know, he just doesn't put his arms around him, kisses him and asks him, well, you shouldn't have done what you should or you did do. You know, we've had trouble in the house because of this, you know. He doesn't say anything like, look what he says. The son starts saying to the father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Stop, says the father. That's enough. Don't want to know any more. The father says to his servant, bring out the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us make merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Wow, what a father. Could have said so much to this son. You've ruined my life. You've taken half of my possessions. You've gone and spent it all. You've riotous living. You've done your worst. Oh, do I reap anything to do with you again? No, says the father. Come into the family. Put his arms round him, kisses him, and draws him into the family. Puts a robe of righteousness on him, as God does. You know, we have no right before God whatsoever. Our sins have separated us from God, but through Christ we have a robe of righteousness, and we can be called sons and daughters of the living God. We don't deserve anything from God but utter annihilation because of our sins. But in Christ, if we put our faith and trust in him, we can know forgiveness of sins and peace with God. We can never pay for the penalty of our sins, whatever we might try to do. But God has paid it all at Calvary. And then you see this elder son. He hears what's going on as he comes in from his work. And he asks the servant, well, what's going on here? What's happening? I can hear music. I can hear dancing. I can hear singing. There's happiness. What's happened? Oh, your brother has returned. And your father has killed the fatted calf. And there's rejoicing. And he wouldn't go in. And he says to his father, look, all these years I've worked for you. I haven't discouraged you in any way. I've always done all your commandments. Everything you've told me to do, I have done it. But this, your son, has come. And what do you do for him? You kill the fatted calf. You put a robe on him and a ring on his finger. You weren't willing to even give me a small calf that I might make merry with my friends. But listen what the father says. He says to him, son, you are always with me. And all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad. For this your brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. We may be found in Christ tonight. As I look around, I see that most, if not everyone, is found in Christ. But there are others that are not, and we should be praying for them. We should be praying that God would open their eyes to see, their ears to hear, and their hearts to see that Christ died on that cross for them. It's only by God, the Holy Spirit, and his working in our land that he can do it. And let's pray that God would do it to bring glory and honor unto our Savior. Well, may God help us and guide us and lead us into a more closer walk and relationship with him. Amen.